My guest tonight, David Cereda. David told me a year ago that he was working on something big. And tonight, we're going to talk about it for the first time. His latest book is called God's Great Pyramid. This is absolute proof that God of Enoch and the prophets designed the Great Pyramid of Egypt. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. David Cereda up next. Stay with us. David Cereda's first aspiration in life was to become an astronaut, like all of us. But one of these really cool things about David and his lifelong experience with not only UFOs, but photography and technology, space, religion, philosophy, astronomy, science, he made one of the coolest UFO documentaries ever with Dan Aykroyd. And David, welcome back to the program. And I got to tell you, every time I talk about you, I go back and I watch that documentary. Pretty incredible moment for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And not only that, Dan introduced me to my wife, Crystal, who I told Dan this, you know, even recently, that my two daughters wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Dan Aykroyd.
Kind of strange how life works, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. My wife is a phenomenal singer and mystic and wonderful, wonderful wife and woman. And actually, she is co-writing and co-wrote this book with me, God's Great Pyramid, The Secret to the Holy of Holies and the Lost Music Scale. So,
and we're going to
work her. I couldn't have done it right, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And we talked about all of that last year and how extraordinary this was going to be. And you had told me then, Jimmy, buckle up, man, because this is going to be the one.
And you're right. You know, it's taken me that long. It's actually over a year ago since I'd been on Coast to Coast. I was talking to George Norrie that I had a dream that I got a letter from God, signed by God, that gave me a mathematical formula where I could look at Noah's Ark, and with this formula of taking a true royal cubit inch and everything God built, from the Ark of the Covenant to Noah's Ark to Ezekiel's temple to the Holy of Holies in the Ark of the Covenant, Solomon's temple, and then all the way to the New Jerusalem cube that comes out of the sky at the end of Revelation, and I could bind them all to the Great Pyramid with this one formula. And it took a year. I was talking to George Norrie about that. Then I went on your show and talked to you, and I didn't think it was going to take me this long, but having children, it kind of went to sleep for a while. And then this past Valentine's Day, the most incredible thing happened in our house. And one of the great things about being a father and raising your children with this very open-minded consciousness, and my wife and I don't put ideas in our children's head about God. We just kind of let them tell us what they're experiencing. And basically, on Valentine's Day, I was in the middle of this dream, and all of a sudden my dream dissolves, and this beautiful white dove is shining with light, dissolves the dream, and I go into this super blissful, ecstatic state of consciousness, and I wake up, and my little daughter, same thing happened to her, Alira. She saw a golden bird of shining with golden light, and we were so excited that morning. Because what started to happen is every day at a certain time, this amazing light and ecstasy would overtake me. I would stop what I'm doing and sit down and go into this supreme state of ecstasy, and I would get these messages, you have to finish the work, from the letter from God that actually has the formula to prove that the Great Pyramid was designed by the God of the ancient prophets. And it's not Cheops or Khafre's pyramid. And see, the thing about math is, math is a language that is so respected that, you know, you could say I have this theory, and there's many authors who have had a theory, and they've had some good clues and some good evidence that the Great Pyramid was designed by the God of the prophets from the last great epic.
Right.
But they didn't have the math. And the math I have is so flawless that this one unit will convert every single thing God designed, and the Great Pyramid will all have the same number.
Do you remember your dreams, David, or did you write this down? Do you keep a pad
no,
on
see,
the nightstand?
I don't remember all my dreams, but a lucid dream, you know, I've been meditating and practicing, you know, every type of natural, no plants, no drugs, every type of natural means of exercising my mind and consciousness, and long, long hours of meditation. I've been doing it for 35, 36 years now, every day. Like, I don't just meditate for a few days and then quit.
Right.
I've been doing this every day. And in 1986, 87, I had this vision where I went through the seven levels of heaven. And then in 1994, I started having visions of Christ, blinding white visions of Christ. And I wrote a book about that. And then, of course, long, long period passes. And then all of a sudden, you know, meditating every day, living my life. And all of a sudden, I get this letter from God, signed by God. And I went, oh, my God, I mean, this has got to be real, right? If I'm not out of my mind, the math would add up. And if I'm out of my mind, the math wouldn't make any sense at all. And it's so flawless, what I'm going to share tonight, that is in this new book on my website. It's a PDF book, so you just download it. It's 150 pages with diagrams, so, you know, lots of pictures, so you can really see what I'm talking about. But I can give you some of the clues. But before I do, the next thing that happens in our house, and this is amazing with children. Again, you know, your child wakes up and they tell you what happened last night, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened in our house. My
right.
daughter there wakes up.
Right.
It's about 10 days after Valentine's Day when the Holy Spirit experience happened, and she had a golden ball of light, about as she described it, with her hands as big as a beach ball, come into her room. It was blowing all the papers around and the curtains. And she showed me Daddy, like, she's only 5 years old, right? She's hanging onto the sheets and she's shaking. And this golden ball of light starts shining with light, and then it leaves. Another week later, it comes back, and Jesus and Magdalene and the Mother of Christ come out of it, and they throw a golden crown on her chest. My daughter picks up the golden crown and gives it back to Jesus. And she's telling me this. She said, Daddy, God came into my room last night out of a golden ball. And she runs down the hallway and she shows me, she goes, no, not this picture, this picture. It's a certain picture of Christ that's hanging in the hallway. And we don't, it's really important, we don't talk about this much with our children. Like, we don't inundate them with religious ideas, like, you know, teaching and teaching and teaching kind of thing. It's very, very gentle the way we did it.
Right.
So that happened, and then all of a sudden, it's like the messages came. I knew how to do the math. I knew how to take this. See, what God told me in that letter was, you take the dimensions of Noah's Ark, and you take it into a true royal cubit inch, which I'll explain what that is and where I got it from. And then it's really simple. This is only addition, division, and multiplication, basic grade 10 math. You don't have to be a physicist to understand what's in this book. But basically, see, here's what we know about the royal cubit, is that it ranges between 20.6 and 20.8 inches. And the Egyptians had an inch that is so close to our inch, it's a wonder that they could even detect a difference. And the difference is 0.00106 inches different. So how do you see that? Like, that's, you know, less than a thousandth of an inch difference, right? So you say, how do they even know that it's different? Well, they studied these rods, and the rods varied in what a royal cubit or a cubit would be in their inches. So therefore, they said, well, they didn't seem to have a consistent, reliable, repeatable ruler like we do. So what ends up happening is Peter de Maizière, I mean, the most important book I read in 1977 was Peter de Maizière's The Great Pyramid Decoded. And when I got the letter from God, I went back into his book, and I found the most repeated and reliable measurement in the Great Pyramid is 41.21 inches equals 2 royal cubits. And so obviously half of that, which is 20.605 inches, would have to be a true royal cubit inch, because it's so repeatable. It's in 14 or 15 places plus. In fact, there's 4 places in the King's Chamber that have that measurement.
Right, right, right.
So I said, this absolutely has to be, and that's what God said in the letter. You have to use the 20.605 inch. So I did that, and here's what happens. You take the Ark of the Covenant, which is sitting inside of the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple in Jerusalem at one point. And before that, it was in the tabernacle in the tent, and it was migrating with the ancient Hebrews because they didn't have a location or a temple that was made of stone. Now, God says to make the Ark of the Covenant 2.5 cubits. And we know they're royal cubits, not common cubits, because common cubits would be for common builders. And the royal cubit is for master builders. For example, in the book of Ezekiel, the angel appears to Ezekiel and says to use a cubit and a handbreadth. And a cubit and a handbreadth is a royal cubit, even though everybody has different arm lengths. That's a whole issue I cover in this book. So we know that God uses royal cubits. So everything has to be royal cubits. And this gets mind-blowing. So you take the Ark of the Covenant times 2.5 royal cubits is 5151, 2.5. So that's the slope angle of the Great Pyramid, right? So 51 degrees and 51 minutes was its finished slope angle. And so therefore you see the same number as a code that belongs in the Great Pyramid in the Ark of the Covenant. And then I kept going, okay, because I started actually with Noah's Ark. And Noah's Ark is not what you think it is. Once you do the math, and it's kind of like the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. When you get these dimensions in code, you think you understand height, breadth, and width, and you think, oh, it's simple, right? I can just figure this out in a really, really simple way, and I can just determine that this thing had to be a boat. And I'm starting to doubt that Noah's Ark, by the time you get through this, and you'll see what I'm saying. It's very simple what I'm going to explain to you. There's no way Noah's Ark could possibly be a boat. And that is you take the dimensions of Noah's Ark, and you multiply the 20.605-inch cubit, and all of a sudden you see these unbelievable numbers start to appear. And here's the simple. I'll make this simple, because you're listening and you don't have, you know, the diagram in front of you. But you basically take the length of Noah's Ark and you multiply it by 20.605 inches for the royal cubit, and then you get a certain amount of inches and you divide that by 12 inches per foot and you get 515125, the same number.
Right.
That's in the Ark of the Covenant. But it's 515 feet, 0.125 feet. Now this, what I'm about to tell you next, is so astounding, it's going to blow people's minds. You take two circles with the diameter of the circle, the distance across the circle, at 515 feet, 0.125, and you cross them over so that their edges cross the midpoint of each circle, and you form a Vesica Pisces. And the Vesica Pisces is shaped like a fish, right? And a boat. Now, the length of that Vesica Pisces, its diameter is a little bit shorter than the length of Noah's Ark. But guess what fits in there perfectly? The height of the Great Pyramid plus a capstone that is not the capstone that you think belongs there. It's the capstone called the Holy of Holies, the cube that sits inside of Solomon's temple. Now, the cube inside of Solomon's temple is 20 cubits, 20 royal cubits by 20 royal cubits by 20 royal cubits. And when you convert that times 20.605 inches per cubit, you get 4121, the most common measurement in the Great Pyramid.
Right, right, right. How long did it take? I know that this is, you know, simple math. It's not physics. How long did it take you to start to put all of this together? Was it just coming at you like a flood?
Well, it came at me, when the Holy Spirit came in the house, it came at me like a flood. Like, I had literally not forgotten that I was going to do this, but being a father and running my website, which is very busy, I never had time to do it. And it's kind of like God said, wake up, I gave you this letter, you got to do this. So I had to go through the Bible and go through every single thing that God told a prophet to build, and do the math and convert all the royal cubits and all the dimensions of everything. And that gets really amazing when you get to Ezekiel's temple. And you start seeing the same exact numbers. The 4121 is in 15 places in the Great Pyramid. And that's the size of the Holy of Holies in royal cubit inches. And Remember, you see, we have feet today, but they didn't, the Egyptians didn't have feet. They had an inch that's almost identical to our inch, but they had royal cubits and cubits. They didn't have feet. So when you take, you have to understand this, when you take Noah's Ark and you convert it, right? You convert it. Here, I just have it right here in front of me. Noah's Ark is 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. So you take the 300 cubit length times the 20.605, it equals 6,181.5 inches. And you divide that by 12 inches per foot, and you get the 5.51, the slope angle of the Great Pyramid. And in the intersection of the Vesica Pisces, you get the height of the Great Pyramid plus a Holy of Holies cube on the top, not a pyramidion capstone. A Holy of Holies cube on the top. And if you go to the Chichen Itza in Mexico, there's a cubic building on top with space to walk around it.
That's right.
It turns out the Holy of Holies, if it was sitting on top of the Great Pyramid capstone base, which is 572.2 Egyptian inches, wide, which is almost the same as our inch, then you'd have about 13 feet of walking space to walk around that cube. And the height of that cube plus the pyramid fits perfectly inside of that Vesica Pisces.
Very, what did you do with this next? I mean, it's an eye opener for sure, but what did you do with it next?
Well, where I started to go before I even released it into a book is I have very powerful connections in Saudi Arabia. When I was actually there on September 11th, as a defense contractor from Irvine, California, we were developing new airport security systems using what's called fast neutron activation to find hidden explosive and contraband. And we finished our defense contract, and the Saudis were interested in possibly funding us. And I got there the day before 9/11. 9/11 happens, and I'm stuck there. I can't, I've got meetings with the royal family and very, very powerful people in Saudi Arabia. And so in that relationship that I have there, I have a friend in Saudi Arabia who knows everybody. He actually knows the royal family in Egypt. And so what I did is I said, the importance of this is so much, it's so important not only to prove it mathematically that God designed this, because it's all built with these little numbers called 5.15125. You keep adding those together. Four of those equals 20.605, right? So you keep adding those together, and everything God ever made uses that unit of our inches, 5.15125. It's just, and the Great Pyramid slope angle is that, Noah's Ark is that, the Ark of the Covenant is that, the Holy of Holies, you just stack those together and you get the 4121, which is, I mean, everything fits perfectly. In fact, if you take the base of the Great Pyramid, the capstone base, which is unfinished, 572.2 inches, convert it to modern inches, which is 0.00106 correction, and you divide it by the 5.15125, it's 1111. And then all four sides is 444. I mean, perfectly.
Let
So
me
this shows.
jump in. Let me jump in right there. We got to take a break, David, and we're going to pick this up when we come back, and we're going to start to look at Boyd Bushman and the connections that happen next for David. It's an absolutely amazing revelation that happens. Great research. Our guest tonight, David Cereda. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. My guest tonight, David Cereda. His latest work is a book called God's Great Pyramid. More with David right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. My guest tonight, David Cereda. We're talking about the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, and prophecy. Now, David, you and the Bushman family, well, I'm going to let you tell the story because it's very interesting here, but all had the same dream. Tell us about that dream.
Well, the Boyd, when he was alive, I did two major interviews with him. One of them I put in an early DVD, and the second interview where he showed me the photos of the alien from Roswell, I never published the interview. But in the interview, Boyd was talking about a crystal that was the power source for the Roswell flying saucer. And, you know, I was studying solid state physics, which is the hidden properties of crystals and different metals and materials for the purpose of, you know, building electronics and everything that, for example, all of our computers and all of our telecommunications, our cell phones are all running on quartz. Crystal oscillators and transistors act as amplifiers and gates. They're all basically germanium and quartz and different types of crystal. So basically, crystals are, in a way, they have their power source, because that's why you use them in solid state amplifiers, because they can amplify signals. They have these little vortexes in them that are called semiconductor holes, and out of these holes, and these holes are not well understood today. I'm going to show you some things, and leading up to what Boyd told me and how he appeared in this dream to five different people at the same time, and gave us the secret. But basically, when he was alive, I said, Boyd, what is the chemistry and the chemical formula of the Roswell crystal? Because if we know the formula, we can make those crystals and we'll have a power source way beyond the crystals that are running our stereo amplifiers and our computers and everything we're using right now in telecommunications. And he said he couldn't give it to me. He just wouldn't give it to me. And I said, well, it's the most important thing that could come out of Roswell is this crystal. And you have to understand, first of all, you know, when I'm looking at the Great Pyramid, I'm not just interested in measurements and proving that who made it. I'm interested in the frequencies that it generates, and to calculate the frequencies that a crystal or a semiconductive stone monument would generate if it had a power source or a charge, which the Great Pyramid has, because it has radioactive limestone core, and then it had, I believe, the Ark of the Covenant actually belonged inside of the Great Pyramid, which is a super, super capacitor. Basically, it sets up a certain frequency, and the specific frequencies of the Great Pyramid chambers and the Holy of Holies are so precise because of their measurements. So when it comes to this stuff, the amplitude and the frequencies, when you trap them inside of a chamber, basically the wave gets so intense inside of these chambers and the thick insulation of such as the Great Pyramid, and even a flying saucer, if the saucer is made out of the right material, it traps the wave, and the wave gets so intense, it causes the lift of the craft, and the semiconductive holes open up and form micro wormholes, which can propel the craft into other dimensions. And therefore, even the pyramid and the Holy of Holies can act as a teleportation device, which is what I believe Noah's Ark really was. I believe it was a cube and a rectangle, and I believe it was a teleportation device to get species off Earth. There's no way you could float all those species on a boat. And I don't believe one man built a boat 515.125 feet long and, like, you know, almost 35, 36 feet high. So, you know, that's like building a Titanic with one guy. I mean, it's not quite possible to imagine that that's what really happened. So the crystal that Boyd Bushman is talking about, you know, when he was alive, and I got it on tape, was so important to me. And he dies, and it's like he dies with this secret. And I have this dream where Boyd is showing me the crystal, giving me its secret, and telling me that the next president of the United States wants this information so bad, and I basically he has to hide it in a secret. And he shows me what the secret is in the dream. He shows me the crystal, and I went, oh my God, you're finally giving us the secret. So I write the family, because Boyd has passed away, and I have everybody's emails, including all of his associates and friends, and they said, we all had the same dream. Five of us. And I said, how many people do you know that can die and can deliver through a dream the same information to five different people? I mean, that's like, almost like a resurrection in itself. In fact, when Boyd was alive, he would really talk deeply in some of these videotape interviews I did with him. And I have hours and hours of tape on him, which, you know, most of it has no one's ever seen. And he would talk about how most of us are still asleep, even though we're alive, that we're not really awake yet. And he had an amazing sense of humor, and he had amazing confidence in his spirit and his ability to transverse death.
One of the things that I had did about Boyd when he started to, the video started to make their way around the internet, is I looked a little bit into his past, and then I was able to access some Freedom of Information Act documents and some other stuff about him. And I was shocked about his employment history and about what he had done and what were clearly stated in some of these documents, referencing things like his research into anti-gravity and what he was looking to do internationally. It was a pretty scary career of his. He wasn't just some old guy on his deathbed, you know, talking crazy talk. He had
Boyd showed me like his pension. He was on a pension from Lockheed. He was still a consultant for Lockheed.
Top secret clearances.
Top secret clearance. I've got many of his patents, and I know what they are. There are some that I can't even talk about. I can't even believe he let me inside that, of that information. But the crystal is so important because it represents an opportunity for us to go to the next level. And I've been very interested in the property of teleportation through the quantum tunneling mechanism inside of materials. And I built a device in my house when we were, my wife and my first daughter and I were living in Sedona. We lived there 7 years. And I built a device that trapped a wave in a material that it couldn't escape. And when you do that, and you know what the right materials are, it basically, the electromagnetic wave gets trapped inside, like inside of the Great Pyramid. If you were to, there's so much insulation in the Great Pyramid, electromagnetic wave can't escape. But you can open up a certain channel, and a beam will come out that is so intense, it can burn a hole energetically into our dimension and open up another dimension in the lens above the where the capstone base is, where I believe actually the Holy of Holies was on the top. And that can open up another dimensional portal. And that happens through the material itself. And I'll give you an amazing article that just came out recently. This was April 22nd. New state of water molecule discovered. They found at using beryllium crystal, which is basically emerald and aquamarine contain beryllium. Beryllium by itself, if it's not bonded in a crystal, is deadly. It's so toxic, it's actually one of the most toxic substances to human beings. And they've actually found small amounts of it in chemtrails, and even tiny, tiny amounts of beryllium are so deadly, they're basically in the family of, in some ways, beryllium, toxic beryllium is worse than uranium for your body. But basically, once you have it in a crystal, which is what an emerald and an aquamarine is, it can't interact with you chemically, so don't worry about wearing emeralds and things like that. But basically what they found is when they trapped water molecules confined in these hexagonal, ultra-small channels, 5 angstroms across of the mineral barrel, crystal, it quantum tunneled through the wall and ended up on the other side. Water. We're like 80% water, our bodies. You have to understand, this is a physical teleportation of the material substance with which we're made out of, and it goes through a barrier and pops out the other side. You see, when I did this wave, I call it a wave trap experiment in Sedona, we had this event in our house that has never been resolved. And the night I was running it, every night I turn out the light in my daughter's playroom. And my daughter was only 2 at that time. She still has never unscrewed a light bulb, even to this day at 5 and a half. She just can reach and turn on and out her light. But this light contained a light bulb, and nobody touched the light bulb. I turned it off myself that night, woke up the next morning, and the light bulb is gone. It's not in the lamp anymore. And there's a lampshade on top of that, all screwed in. My wife goes to turn the light on. It doesn't come on. So I look inside, and there's no bulb in there. So what basically happens when you understand how UFOs are working, and you're understanding how these secret chambers, Holy of Holies chambers, and Solomon's Temple is not the only Holy of Holies. I really go into this in the book. There's more of them with the exact same dimensions that have been discovered, and one of them is in Mary Magdalene's village in the town of Migdol, in the dimensions of the cube, the remains of the edge of the cube match the correct dimensions of a true Holy of Holies, which should be about 34.34 point something feet. I have the exact number when you use the 20.605 qubit. And that sets up a frequency. The speed of light divided by the space is how you calculate it, of two numbers, a square and a circle wave, that are so perfect. They're so freaking perfect, these numbers. I'm not going to say them right now. But those numbers mean something. And when you trap those numbers in a confined space and they can't get out, you see, they force the material. Imagine this tiny, tiny little vortex hole that already exists in the material. But when the wave is trapped inside, it has to quantum tunnel through the hole. And when it forces itself through, it opens up a hole bigger and energetical and can teleport things through it into another dimension. In this particular case of the water going through the beryl crystal, the size of the pores in the material are way too small to let the water through. There's no way the water just seeped through the pores. It quantum tunneled through, and that's what they're saying, it quantum tunneled. And that means there's so little. We have so much to learn about the properties of semiconductive stone and materials that we're basically just starting to understand that there are properties in certain crystals that are mind-boggling.
What would happen, Roswell,
that Boyd is holding in his hand in the dream, and then he talked about when he was alive, is a massive secret.
What would happen to the human body? I mean, I can understand and see how water could do the quantum transport, but what about something solid, human body, an object?
Well, we're about 80 or more percent water, depending on how much water you drink. So it's just like when you burn somebody's body when they die, there's just a little bit of ash left there, which is carbon and minerals. So, and also physicists understand that when you look at the atoms with which your body's made, the spaces between the electron, positron, and all the subatomic particles, taus and muons and all of them, it's all mostly empty space. We're mostly made of empty space and energetic vibrations. And the strange quark, which is in the middle of the nucleus of the neutron, in the proton in the center of the atom, which is where most of the mass is actually in the neutron. The strange quark has been reported to suddenly and randomly just leave and then come back and leave and come back. And that thing is really heavy. It's not a light thing. Like an electron is extremely light. It's almost as light itself. But when you're talking about strange quarks moving and jumping in and out of atoms, it means that part of us is always leaving and coming back all the time anyway. So then you think of the human body, you can't think of it as it's going through a mini micro black hole. It's kind of like a micro black hole. These quantum tunnels there's a lot known about them, but nobody has ever done super high energy experiments with them. I believe from all the evidence I've seen, the way these UFOs are working and the way these secret chambers would work and people would, like for example, when the ancient Hebrews described when you would go inside of the Holy of Holies, it was so bright, even with the very thick cloth curtains between the Ark of the Covenant and the high priest, only one person was allowed in there during Yom Kippur once a year.
That's right.
To atone for the sins of all of the people of Israel. Now, that was in Solomon's temple, but in the other Holy of Holies, it looks like there are two examples. One is the temple for Ishtar, which is now in Syria. It measures correct. It has the right dimensions. Obviously, women were allowed in there because that was a temple of a ancient goddess worship. And the temple at Migdol, I believe both men, I believe probably Jesus and Mary went in there, because in the Gospel of Philip, which is one of these missing Gospels, Jesus speaks specifically about three holy chambers. And the Holy of Holies is the third, and it's the bridal chamber, meaning where where basically the ritual of the male and the female union happens. And so I believe that was illegal in the time of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, and later the Roman armies came to her village. And this is in new Smithsonian magazine article and also some other new archaeology magazine articles. They now know that her entire village was massacred and the Sea of Galilee was turned to blood. So they were obviously trying to find her, and they obviously disapproved of the use of another Holy of Holies, especially allowing women in there. But there are older Holy of Holies with the correct dimensions, and I found three of them so far, but I know there's more. Now, also, if you go to
Chaco Canyon?
You know, it's in New Mexico near Taos, where they have the round chambers.
Yes.
I've measured them. There's not good measurements on those. My dad lives near there, and I used to live in Taos. And you can buy I have a Leica laser now. And if you measure the diameter times pi, you get the distance around the chamber on the inner wall. It's the inner dimension that matters the most. The speed of light divided by that will tell you the frequency that it would set up of an electromagnetic wave. And based on some loose measurements of some of those circles, I'm seeing almost the same numbers that you see. Like, for example, I took the capstone base of the Great Pyramid, 572.2 Egyptian inches across, which is almost the same as ours, but I did the conversion, 0.0106 difference, and then you times 4 to get the square distance around it. And when the electrons get really excited in the material, an electromagnetic square standing wave oscillates around that just above the skin, and it doesn't have any resistance, so it oscillates at the speed of light. You take the speed of light, you're not going to believe this, divided by the distance around the capstone base.
Well, let me jump in right there, David. I want to hold that for after the break. This is too big a stuff. My guest tonight, David Serrata. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. More with David right after this break. Stay with us.